So we started the sugya on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph of Ika Beinayu Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, and that's at the top of the Amud, about five lines down from the top. What's unique about Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol? First of all, we have to fit the following description. We have to find a case of a Ma'anes who violates a certain isur, and at the same time there is tfisas kiddushin, which means that this will be a difference between Rav Shimon Menasya, who holds isha ra'uya l'kaima, and Shimon HaTemani, isha sheyesh ba havaya. So there is going to be havaya, and therefore she's included in the parash of knas, but it's impossible l'kaima. Right, it's an isha she'ena ruya l'kaima. Hence, according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, she's excluded from the parasha of knas because it's ena ruya l'kaima. And that's going to be true for the case of be'ula l'kohen gadol. On the other hand, if we go with Shimon HaTimani of an isha she'esh b'havaya, there is tfisas kedushin in the case of Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Now the question is, the Gemara addresses this question in the next line. We're going now according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that whenever the relationship is such that the Torah prohibits it, the child is a mamzer and there's no tfisas kiddushin. And the Gemara establishes that Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol is unique, it's different. And the Gemara says, Umayishno, why is it unique? And the Gemara answers, Dahavile esei she'ena shava bakol, that the only person who's included under this Isur is the Kohen Gadol. Other than the Kohen Gadol, to whom the Torah addresses with the words, Ki im besula b'yamo yikach isha, other than him, there's no one who's required to marry a besula. And therefore this Isur, which is derived from this pasuk besula b'yamo yikach, is limited to one person, and that's the Kohen Gadol. That makes it an Isur She'ena Shava Bakol. It's a very unique Isur. It's only limited to one person, and therefore, Yesh Bo Tfisas Kedushin. So if we go with the Shita of Shimon HaTimni, then this woman will be included in Knas. So the Kohen Gadol, who has this onus relationship with a Be'ula, will pay Knas according to Shimon HaTimni. But if we go with the broader definition, the more all-encompassing definition of Rav Shimon ben Menasya of Ruya L'Kaima, she's Eina Ruya L'Kaima. That's what we have in our sugya. The next sugya is going to be Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Let's just get our feet weighed in the sugya of Nechunya ben Akana, and then I want to come back to Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol. The Gemara is going to say now Ulafuke mid Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that our Mishnah is against Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana is of the opinion that we apply the principle of Kimleb de Rab Mine even in a Chiyuv Kares, which is a punishment that's Bidei Shamayim. Hence, our Mishnah, which says that in Baal Achoso he pays Knas, is irreconcilable with Rav Nechunya ben Akana, because there's no Knas in the case of Baal Achoso based on Kim Levi the Rab Mine. The Gemara says, my time of the Rav Nechunya ben Akana. The Gemara gives two answers. There's going to be one answer called Abaye, and the other answer called Rava, as usual. And Abaye says that Rav Nechunya ben Akana derives this from Ason, and Rava says he derives it from the Parsha of Molech. And the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu, this is already on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, this is the next Ika Beinayu, which is the difference between Abaye and Rava according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And that's going to be the case, which is about 15 lines up from the bottom of Daf Lamed Omid Beis, the case of Zar She'ochal Truma. What's Zar She'ochal Truma? This is a case of Misa Bidei Shamayim. And on the one hand, he has to pay the Kohen for stealing his truma, and that's a chiyuv mamon. On the other hand, he gets misa bidei shamayim. So certainly, if we go with Abaye, this is included under ason, hence kimle b'derabimine, therefore he doesn't pay the Kohen for his hefsei truma. According to Rav, on the other hand, since this derivation from Molech is specifically and exclusively in the case of kares. It does not apply in, let's say, the lesser punishment of misa b'dei shamayim. Hence, even Rabbi Nachum ben Hakana would agree in this case that the zar has to pay the kohen and compensate him for the loss of truma. The next sugya after that, just to get a little bit of a perspective of where we're going with this, is going to be the sugya of gneva. And the Gemara says that Rav Chisda tells us that gonev chelbo shel chaver v'acholo, the man stole someone's chelev. Now chelev is mutar ba'anah. Chelev in the case of achila is an isur kares, but it's mutar ba'anah. So the chelev has value. Now Reuven steals Shimon's chelev and he eats it. And Rav Chisda says in such a case he's chayev. He has to reimburse Shimon for the loss of his chelev, whatever the value of the chelev is on the market. Now
you talk about he eats it as he steals it.
Oh, so you're ahead of us. So right now the Gemara asks the following kasha: in the case of chelev, we have a situation of a chiyuv kares. According to Rabbi Chunin ben Akana, if you violate a chiyuv kares by eating this chelev, then you're potter from tashlumin. Why does Rav Chisda say that he pays tashlumin? So the Gemara answers, shekvar nischayev b'gneva, he already became chayev for the gneva the moment that he lifted up the chelev, kodim shebali de isra achilas chelev, meaning the gneva and the chiv to pay for the gneva predates the chiv kares, which is incurred by achila. So the only way that you could apply Rav Nachum ben Akana to the case of achilas chelev would be if you had simultaneity, which is called be'idna, between the stealing of the chelev and the eating of the chelev. You would have to generate a case where, as he's eating the chelev, he's kona the chelev, meaning he implements a kinyan gneva on the chelev. And the Gemara is going to come up with the case of tochav lo chavero letoch piv, that somebody puts the whether it's the truma in the first case that we had of zar shochel truma, or the chelev in the second case of Rav Chisda, of a zar shochel chelev, of Yisrael shochel chelev, it was forced down his throat, so to speak. The Gemara doesn't understand exactly how to engineer this in such a way that he's chayev both for truma, let's say zoros, or for achilas chelev, and at the same time he's a ganav. How does he become a ganav? So the Gemara says l'chora he becomes a ganav at the moment of le'isa. Le'isa means before he swallows it, he's already a ganav. The Gemara seems to identify le'isa with a kinyan gneva. Now exactly what the kinyan is, I do not know. Let's say that if you make a change in the object, that itself is enough to accomplish kinyane gneva. So again, he never lifted the gneva, he never lifted up the truma, it was put into his hat, into his mouth, tochav lo beisal blia. So you cannot say that he was kone as a gadav at the moment that he lifted it up, because he never lifted it up. On the other hand, you cannot tell me that he acquires the gneva through le'isa, unless you assume that somehow le'isa is a kinyan. So lo and behold, if you take a look at the language of the Gemara on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, and we're looking here approximately, shall we say, about 10 lines up from the bottom. No, it's even less than that. Let's count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9 lines up from the bottom. Hachav b'mayaskinon, kigon shetachav lo chaver l'toch piv. And the Gemara thinks that in this case, he simultaneously is kona the gneva with the kinyan gneva, and he incurs a chiyuv, in this case of kares, or in the case of truma, of zar shochel truma, misa b'dei shamayim. So the Gemara asks right away, I don't get it. Sof sof came into lase, kanya. There's a kinyan called le'isa. When he chews up the truma, or the chelev, he's kona it as a ganav, and he incurs a chiyuv tashlume gneva. However, mischayev benafshel lo avia debola. Because the Gemara now is holding that you're not chayv for macholas asurus until blia, which is called hanos meo. If you know, it's hanos grono is not enough. So if you hold like that, which is machlokas Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish in Masechta Chul, then it comes out that there will be a time differential between the kinyan gneva and the chiyuv gneva as tashlume mamon and the chiyuv misa, whether it's misa b'dei shamayim or in the case of chelev achilev kares, which is incurred later after the belia, only at the time of the, after the leisa, only at the time of the belia. So the Gemara says, "Kigon shetachav lo l'tov beis ha-belia." How are we going to get this simultaneity of be'idna in order to set up kimle b'the rabbi minei? According to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, it's going to have to be where not only did Shimon stuff it down Reuven's throat, but he stuffed it in a place where there's no leisa. So we skip the process of leisa,
and swallow it whole.
And he swallows it, and at that point that he swallows it, he incurs both a chiv misa for zar shachal truma and a chiv gneva for kinyane gneva. So the Gemara is not so happy about that. Why? Because hechi dami, either matzi ladura, if he still could cough it up, is niheda. And Rashi's going to learn that in that case, since he didn't cough it up, he's already chayv as a ganov, even before he swallows it. V'i lo matzi ladure, and if the tochev put it in such a place, deep down in his throat, such that he can't even cough it up, is a maichayev. Why should it be chayv misa? He's a total anus. And the Gemara now comes up with a very complicated syntax here, which is called Lotzika de Matzi Ladura al Yudei Adchak. That yes, he could cough it up, but he would have to make a tremendous effort in coughing it up. And you can imagine how complicated it is to learn this sugya. Okay, so that's just a picture of what's coming around the medicine.
Is the shear for the Akila the same shear as for the Gneva? Because maybe it won't be at the same time.
You mean how much exactly has to eat?
Is there a shear of achila, or is it just a mashu, or is it, you know, it might not be over kahalacha on both at the same time?
I think the case is that he swallows in one gulp the amount of truma to be chayev as a ganu for tashlumin and to be chayev as a zar shochal truma who is chayev misa v'dei shamayim. That's the case where he gulps it down. Now, when the Gemara has the case of le'isa, the Gemara objects because there's no simultaneity. You're offering another objection. Right? The Gemara objects because he has the le'isa at stage 1 and then he has the belia at stage 2. So already at stage 1 he was kona the gneva for chiv gneva. At stage 2, when he swallows it, he incurs a chiv misa v'dei shamayim as a zar. You're asking another question. How much did he chew up? Maybe he only chewed up, let's say, a shava pruta. Maybe a shava pruta's worth is enough to incur a chiv ganov as a kinyan gneva, but it's not yet a kezias' worth. And maybe as a zaris, he's only chayv when he eats a kezias. That could be a brilliant... But the Gemara is objecting on a different level, just because the focus of the Gemara is now simultaneity. How can you generate be'idna if the le'isa takes place before the blia, and the le'isa is enough to generate a kinyan gneva, whereas for the chiyuv of zaris you need blia? So let's go back now to Chavtes Amid Beis. We have a little bit of an overview of the different topics that we want to talk about. And we're going to start with the topic that we picked up yesterday, but we never got a chance to complete that topic. And that's going to be Kohen Gadol regarding a Ba'ula. So it means Ba'ula, Kohen Gadol, is going to fit this description where it falls between the cracks here, so to speak. It's going to be a case of Eina Ru'uya L'Kaima, so therefore there's no Knas according to Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, but it is Isha Sheyeshla Havaya, because it's Tfisas Kiddushin, it's an Isra Seishain and Shavah Bakol, and therefore according to Shimon HaTibni, she would receive Knas, he would have to pay Knas. So the last thing that we tried to understand yesterday was a Gemara in Yevamos. So let's see if we can all turn to page Kuftes. The Gemara in Yevamos is on page Kuf Yud. We may have some more copies over here in the archives, I don't know. If you want to take a look, it should be on, pretty much on top of the pile. And we're going to begin with paragraph number Ayin He, and then we're going to emphasize paragraph number Ayin Vav. Okay, man? Okay. So what happens over here? First, there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, which you'll see in the paragraph Ayin Hey, whereas Rashi learns that this woman was already a Be'ula before the action of the Kohen Gadol, which makes it impossible to understand this sugya, says Rashi, because if she was already a Be'ula, then why would he pay knas? Right, the Gemara works it out that according to Shimon HaTimni, she will collect knas. Now, how could she collect knas if she's already a Be'ula? And the answer is, it was a Be'ila Shalo Kedarka. So Be'ila Shalo Kedarka now has two different categories to it. On one level, it's enough to generate an Isur L'Kohen Gadol. She's not a Besula. But on the other hand, she's still considered a Besula as far as paying the Knas is concerned, because physically she has her Besul, right? Because it was a Be'ila Shalo Kedarka. That's Rashi Shita. Tosfos' sheet, on the other hand, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, is that we're talking about a Kohen Gadol who had a relationship with a Besula. So now you'll ask me, well, if she's a Besula, why is that called Eina Ru'iyah L'Kaima? Why can't he remain or get married to her? And the answer is because he made her into a Be'ula. And the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that Anusas Atzmo Lo Yisa, that a Kohen Gadol who has this relationship with a woman is not allowed to marry this woman because she is no longer a Besula. So according to Rabbeinu Chananel, we're talking about a regular, genuine Bila Kedarka. And if you'll ask, well, she was a Besula at the time of the Ones, so what difference does it make if subsequent to the Be'ila she becomes an Isha She Ein Bahavaya? And therefore, according to Shimon HaTimni, she loses her knas. And the answer is because the Kohen Gadol could not marry her. And if the Kohen Gadol could not marry her, which is established by the Gemara in Yevamos, even though he was the one who made her into a Be'ula, nevertheless he can't marry her. So then it's Eino Ru'iyah L'Kaima. Hence, according to Rav Shimon HaTimni, I'm sorry, according to Rav Shimon Ben Manasseh, my mistake, she would not collect knas. Now, in the paragraph that starts Ulafi Zeh, which is on your bottom right on page Kuftes, and this we saw the other day, Rashi could not possibly accept Tosfos, because if she was a Besula, it's true that subsequently she became Eina Ru'iyah L'Kaima, because he's not allowed to remain married to, he's not allowed to get married to his Be'ula, even though it's his Be'ula, if you follow what I mean. But nevertheless, that's subsequent to the Maisa Bia. The Maisa Bia, the Maisa Ones, is the Machayev. At that point, she was a Besula. So at the moment of Ones, she was Ru'iyah L'Kaima. If later on she becomes Eina Ru'iyah L'Kaima, who remembers yesterday the case?
Dichui.
Yeah, and what was the case of Dichui, where subsequently she became Eina Ru'iyah L'Kaima? He married her. Her sister, remember? So the fact that he marries her sister later, according to Rashi, would clearly not remove his mitzvah of Velosi Elisha. It doesn't take her out of the parish of Velosi Elisha, because the critical moment that determines Velosi Elisha is the moment of Ones. So here too, how could Rabbeinu Chananel claim that since he made her into Be'ula, therefore she's Eina Ru'iyah L'Kaima? What do you mean Eina Ru'iyah L'Kaima? She was a perfect Besula at the time of the Ones. And at that moment, we fix into in stone the chiyuv of knas. So if you take a look on the left column, about six lines down, I don't know if you have any underlines here, but I would underline the words, the keva de b'shas ha'ones ha'isa besula gemura v'haya roya l'kaima is afal pi sholiachra abiyah nasis be'ula v'yasa lisosa lo miftar miknas. So Rashi's shita is that the situation that is a result of the bi'ula, but is not the situation that existed at the time of the bi'ula, is not going to undermine the knas. But by the way, were you able to find any of the pages?
No.
I can't understand it. We made so many copies yesterday. Just give me one split second here. Maybe I'll see if I can dig it up here just for a second.
Yeah. Where did this disappear of all sudden? Do you remember? Who remembers? We had a whole peckle here. John, didn't you do the photocopy yesterday?
Yesterday.
Was that yesterday, or just in my imagination?
You were sure, or so cautious that people keep them.
Yeah, people are looking for them. I don't know.
Okay, I'm looking on.
This mamish a pella to me. We had literally a whole peck. Oh, maybe somebody moved it. Ah, I see. Somebody moved it to the other side of the thing. Okay, we're not totally lost yet. Let's see what we can dig up. Okay, let's see if we can dig up anything here. Okay, there's something here. I don't know if it's relevant to us or not. Okay. Yeah, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take this package over here. This has to be organized. And pass it back. See if you can dig up. Again, you'll definitely see some numbers here that will be relevant later on today, because we're going to be jumping around from the beginning of the Sefer to the end of the Sefer. Okay. So you may possibly find the pages Kuf Tes, Kuf Yud. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but it's worth flipping through the pages. And if by chance you do find it, please let me know, because that would put a smile on my face. If you don't find it, then you'll probably find pages Tuf Ayin Ches.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. That'll be coming around the bend, hopefully, in just a few minutes. I think we probably, if we looked deep down, we'd probably also find Kuf Tes, but I'm not going fishing. I never liked fishing. No, they don't eat the bait. So anyway, so we have now Rashi Shita. What's the Shita of Tosfos? Aval Tosfos Sirele, the Gam Hecha de B'Shas Ha'ones Hoysa Ru'uy L'Kaima Uli Achar Ha'ones Ein Ru'uy L'Kaima Potter Miknas. Which means the following, that if as a result of this Be'ila the Kohen Gadol generated an Isur L'Kaima, then that's called Asur L'Kaima. We're not going to look at the beginning of the Be'ila, we'll look at the end of the Be'ila, so to speak. Again, that has nothing to do with the discussion that we had yesterday, which we want to pick up again today. If a man took a neder after the onus, that he would not have any hanos tashmish, or if he married her sister, etc., etc., that's a different story. But at least in this case, says Rabbeinu Chananel, since as a result of the bia, she became anusas atzmo, which the Gemara says that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry anusas atzmo. So the whole process of ones generated a situation of ein royal lekaima, and hence, according to Rav Shimon ben Benasya, there's no knas. Now, in the next paragraph, Yesh Litlos, he has a very, I would say, very abstract, almost esoteric kind of chakiria to try to explain this chiyuv knas in the case of. Of a low seal isha. So we'll go through this quickly. I don't want to spend too much time in this because I really want to get to Ayin Vav, and that's going to be Ayin Vav and Ayin Zayin is going to be a main topic for today. Im hu din ala isha shetehei ba havaya or shetehei ba yilakayma mar kidisle whether it's Shimon HaTimni or Shimon Asya kimo di be'inon shetehei besula. Correct? So just like a woman has to be a basula, she has to be in the parish of a lo seal isha, whether it means havaya, whether it means ruvi l'kayim. Oh, what's the second possibility? Ein ze din al ha'isha el din chadash de be'ina shetei afshar she is kayim akra de v'lo seal isha. Wow. The first interpretation is Rashi's interpretation. You're describing the woman with which he had this relationship, this onus. And you want to know whether she's a besula or a ba'ula. So Rashi says we have to assume that she's a ba'ula. How did she become a ba'ula? And the answer is because the first relationship that she had was a bila shalo kedaka, that makes her into a ba'ula. However, if you're describing the woman who is in the parsha, just like you require besula, you require a woman sheyesh ba havaya or sheruya lekaima, then this woman in the Rabbeinu Hananel's scenario is a besula. She's ruya lekaima and yesh ba havaya. Hence, everybody would agree that she collects knas. And therefore, there's no way that we can accept Rabbeinu Hananel. Again, I want to reiterate this point, if not for you and your benefit, for my own benefit. The first understanding, which is the understanding of Rashi, which is totally antithetical to Rabbeinu Hananel, is premised on the fact that Lo Seal Isha is not describing the marriage relationship that's going to occur here following the Ones and the mitzvah to marry this girl, but rather it's describing the girl. Who is she? She is a girl who's Lo Seal Isha. Lo Seal Isha. That's her title. That's what she's wearing on her sweatshirt. The Lo Seal Isha. That describes her. Just like Besula describes her, Nara describes her, so too Lo Seal Isha describes her. And now, if there's going to be Knas, will hinge on whether or not she is in the parasha. Was she a Lo Seal Isha woman in this parasha? Just like the definition of the distinction, shall we say, between Besula and Ba'ula or Nara and Bogeris applies to that moment of Be'ila. Did he have an Ones relationship with a Besula, with a Nara? Did he have a relationship of Ones with a woman who's Lo Seal Isha? Says Rashi, if she was a Besula and the Kohen Gadol had this relationship, then Eino Chinami, she's included in Lo Seal Isha. The second understanding says, no, Lo Seal Isha is referring to the actual marriage relationship that's going to occur. Meaning that the Torah is going to say about this woman, marry her. Well, in the case of Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, Be'ulas Atzmo, where the Gemara says in Yevamos that Aser Lisa Be'ulas Anusas Atzmo, so we now have a relationship with a woman where it's impossible to say that she is Re'uya L'Kaima. Re'uya L'Kaima mean that the mitzvah of Lo Seal Isha would apply. If on the other hand, Lo Seal Isha means that if he would go ahead and marry her, the Torah and Allah would recognize the validity of that marriage, then she would be included in the parasha of Knas. But again, if we go with the first definition, that Lo Seal Isha describes the woman no less than Besula describes the woman, and Nara describes, these are all the preconditions to the descriptions of this woman, then clearly there's no way that you can accept Rabbeinu Hananel. So Tosfos, which means Rabbeinu Hananel, Svir LeKetzad HaSheni, Tosfos accepts the second definition. And even though, at the moment of Be'ila, she was absolutely Re'uya L'Kaima, but as a result of this Be'ila, she becomes a Kohen Gadol B'Be'ulas Atzmo, which he's not allowed to marry. There's no way, no how, that within the context of this Ones relationship, we can now impose upon the Boel, in this case the Kohen Gadol, to marry this woman, because it's Eino Re'uya L'Kaima. Hence, she's not included in the parasha of Lo Seal Isha of Knas. Masha Enkin, if you go with the Shita of Shimon HaTeimoni, this woman lends herself to Lo Seal Isha, which means the Tfisas Kiddushin, because Yesh Ba Havaya. I think that's excellent. I don't know, you guys are not excited about it. I see you're just very calm and placid. I feel like I'm giving a shit in front of a bunch of Litvaks.
This is his own feeling. He brings it down.
He says this in the name of the Haflah, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see, what's the, you know, you have to follow the little letters over here. Let's see, Gimel and Dalet. Oh, he says this in the name of the Kovet Shiurim, and he uses this to enhance our understanding of Haflah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know, Herb, if you were here when I announced that this Sefer is an anthology of Achronim, yeah. But in a very beautiful way. You were here. Okay. This is what I call the green monster, which is the Otsa Mefarshi Talmud. If you know what I mean. Okay. Now we're up to Os Ayin Vav. The Rambam in Isurei Biyah paskins that a Kohen Gadol Sheba'al Be'ula Belo Nisuin Lo Chilula. Now this is a radical chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam is telling us that a Kohen Gadol who now has a relationship with a Be'ula, now notice he did not marry her. There was no chuppah v'kiddush. There was only Be'ula. And she's a regular Be'ula. A regular Be'ula. Now normally, when a Kohen violates an Iser of Zona, or Grusha, or Chalola, and he has a relationship with that woman, then this generates Chalolos, meaning Chalolos is a result of what we call Isurei Kahuna. Now in the case of Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, that's a classic Iser Kahuna, because no one but a Kohen Gadol is included in that Iser. Says the Rambam, here's the exception to the rule. There will not be Chalolos here. Neither will she become a Chalola and Asur L'Kohenim, nor will the child from this relationship be considered a Chalol. On the contrary, the child could be a candidate to take over for his father and become the next Kohen Gadol. And the Magid Mishnah says that this is a problem, because the Rambam in the very previous halacha establishes that a Kohen Gadol who marries a Be'ula and has a relationship with her, she becomes a Chalola. Says the Magid Mishnah, if you're very careful about the difference between the Rambam halacha Gimel and the Rambam halacha Dalet in the same Perek Yutes of Isurei Biyah, you'll notice the difference. In the case of halacha Gimel, the Rambam's talking about Nasa Besula Ubala. So two things happen. The Kohen Gadol had a double relationship with this woman who's a Be'ula. Number one, he married her, and number two, Ba'aleha. A plus B equals Chalolos. However, in the case of Halacha Dalin, there was Ba'aleha, but there was no Nisuin. And therefore the Rambam says that this is not considered Chil. This is not Mechalel. It doesn't generate Chalolos. So the Magid Mishnah says the following. He says, Kohen Gadol Shenasa Be'ula, if there was not only a Be'ila, but there was also Nisuin, is Nischal of Vavlad Cholol, Hainu Dafka Benose. It wasn't just a wanton Bia that the Kohen Gadol had with her, but it was within the framework of marriage. Is therefore Lefisha Avrala Esse Divahu Isha Bibsuleo Yikach. The Magid Mishnah is pointing out beautifully that if we go back to the source, the pasuk itself, it says yikach, and the iser is an iser asay, which is the flip side of yikach. Therefore, he only violates this iser of bibsuleil yikach in the case of Be'ula if he was yikach, if he married her. Avol ba al habe'ula shalog b'derech nisu, and he had a one-time relationship with her, a free relationship with her, is then, that's not called an Iser Kahuna. Chalolos is only a result of violating an Iser Kahuna. No one's allowed to have a wanton relationship with a woman. According to the Rambam, it's an Iser Kedesha. According to other Rishonim, maybe it's a Bittel Essay, an Iser Essay of Kiyikach Ish Isha. But whatever the nature of the Iser of Bilas Nus is, that's not an Iser Kahuna. So therefore the Rambam says that a Be'ilas Nus is not powerful enough to generate Chalolos. This is not an Iser Kahuna. This, he calls it, Baal Hashem's Nus is Eino Muzar Ba, the Kohen Gadol is not violating an Iser in a unique way. Yosemi Adam Acher, anyone would be violating that same identical Iser. And if it's not an Iser Kahuna, but rather it's a general Iser, it doesn't generate Chalolos. However, if he married her, and the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula, then the combination of Nisuin with a Be'ula plus Be'ila, that generates Chalolos. However, the Mishnah Melech is very upset, because even though the Magid Mishnah explains the sheet of the Rambam, but he never actually establishes a source for the sheet of the Rambam. Where does the Rambam find anywhere in Shas a sugya that indicates that in the case of Kohen Gadol, there's only going to be a case of Kohen Gadol and a Bu'ula. There will only be what? Halolus if there was both Nisuin and Bi'ula. Where did the Rambam learn that from? Where did he derive it from? And here we have our sugya right here, Ika Beinayu, Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol. The Rambam holds like Rashi that Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol is a case of Ba'ula Me'odom Acher Shalom Kedarka. Now we have the following question. How could you possibly say that in this case there would be, according to Shimon HaTimari, Knas, because it's Yesh Bahavaya? Wait a second. As a result of this Be'ila, the Kohen Gadol violates the Iser of Be'ula, this should be Chalolos. If there's going to be Chalolos, then the Kohen Gadol is now violating a lav of Lo Yechal Zaro Bi'amav. And we're going according to Rabbi Akiva that ain't Kedushin Tosin B'chai Be'lav, and hence it's an Isha She'ain Aruil, it's an Isha less Bahavaya, that there's no Havaya. The only answer to that question could be that there's no Chalolos. Hence, we derive the Rambam's conclusion that in this case there was a Bia without Nisuin, like the case of Anusas Atzmo, and therefore there's no Chalolos. That's where we're holding. So, what the Shita Yeshana has done for us is he's combined Rashi and the Rambam into one, you know, one enterprise. And we're going to have a proof here that there's no halolus in the case of Be'ila below Nisuin from Rashi, from the fact that our Gemara says that this woman is Re'uya L'Kaima because there's no violation of a lav. How could there be no violation of the lav when he makes it into a halolah? And the answer is, since he hasn't married her, he's only been boel her, that's not enough to generate halolos. Why? Because as we said before, the bi'ila is outside the framework of ishus, and that's not an iser to kohanim. That has nothing to do with kohanim. The iser to kohanim is only effectuated when he violates ki besula b'yav yikach isha, meaning when he didn't take a besula, meaning he married a woman who wasn't a besula, she was a be'ula, then he violates this iser as an iser kahuna. Hence, it generates halolos. But as far as the Be'ila itself without Nisuin is concerned, you see from our Gemara that there is no halolos, because otherwise the whole Gemara falls apart like a deck of cards. You know, the Gemara is looking for an afkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasya. So we're looking at for a case which is Ru'uya L'Kaima. I'm sorry, ain't a Ru'uya L'Kaima, but it's Yesh Bar Havaya. Well, if this Be'ila generates halolos, then there's no Havaya over here. There's no way he can marry this woman because it's a violation of a lav in the Torah. Now, later on, we're going to ask another question. Well, what's the difference between the lav of Halolus and the Iser of a Kohen Gadol marrying a Be'ula? In both cases, it's an Iser Sheina Shava Bakol. If you're telling me that there's Tfisas Kedushin in the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries a Be'ula, and the reason is because it's Ein Hashav of a Kol, well, why don't you apply the same principle to an Iser Chalola, which is also an Ein Hashav of a Kol? Again, I have to admit that the Iser Chalola is a little bit more broad scope than the Iser Be'ula, in the sense that Chalola is Asura L'Kol Shevet Kuhuna. But nevertheless, who else besides the Kohanim are prohibited from marrying a Chalola? Nobody. So it's not a Shavuot Bakol. So we'll get to that question later on. I don't want to distract you with that question. We're more focused now on the Gemara in Yevamos. This is an interesting Gemara. The Gemara discourages a Kohen from marrying a Ketana. Now again, you have to understand what a Ketana means here in this context. Ketana means that her father died and she's getting married off, in this case to a Kohen Gadol, by her mother or her brother. That's called Kiddushin Derabbanan, otherwise known as Kiddushin Mirim. No. We're not going to allow the mother to marry off her Ketana to a Kohen. That cannot be accepted. Why? So Rav Ada bar Ava explains. Kohen Gadol, I meant to say. So Rav Ada bar Ava explains, what's the problem? The problem is that l'chi gadla be'ulahi. What does this mean, l'chi gadla? L'chi gadla means that at this point in time, as long as she's a ketana, there's no marriage. It's only a kedusha miyun which the rabbanan enacted. But it will turn into a kedushin d'oraisa when she becomes a gedola. Now, at that point, she's already a ba'ula, and he can't marry a ba'ula. Now, wait a second. There's something fishy going on. What do you mean he can't marry a ba'ula? The Gemara is only objecting to this marriage because l'chi gadol. Forget about l'chi gadol. Even as a ketana, the man already had the first be'ila with her. Now he's having a second be'ila with her. I'm talking about the man, meaning the Kohen Gadol. So why are you going to tell me that that's not a problem? That's not an issue. He can marry this, you know, with the approval of this girl's mother. He can marry a ketana, and he's a Kohen Gadol. Okay, the first be'ila I understand. I mean, she's a besula. But when he gets the second be'ila, she's already a be'ula. How can we allow that? The answer is because there's no nisuin. According to the Rambam, this is gevaldik. We find a Gemara which would support the Rambam that he doesn't violate the iser of bias ba'ula outside of the realm of kedusha. Again, you might ask, well, it's a bilus nus. The answer is it's not a bilus nus because the Rabbanim made it not a bilus nus because they allowed and recognized the marriage of the mother effectuated. But if you'll ask me on a Doraisa level, is he allowed to have a relationship with this Be'ula? The answer is yes. The Torah only said lo yikach, right? Besula b'yabav yikach, and he can't marry a Be'ula. Well, he's not marrying a Be'ula. But when is he going to marry this Be'ula? When she becomes a Gedola. Wow, this is really very, very impressive. So again, let's just summarized by saying the Rambam holds that the Iser of a Kohen Gadol as an Iser Kahuna to marry a Be'ula is limited according to the Rambam to Nisuin plus Be'ila, but he has Be'ila with a Be'ula outside of the framework of marriage without Nisuin. He doesn't violate the Iser Kahuna. Again, he's guilty of a general Iser that applies to anyone, of a Bilas Nus. And we're wondering, the Magid Mishnah is wondering, where is the source for this Rambam? The Mishnah Melech is wondering, where is the source for the Rambam? So we're offering two answers to this question. One is here in Ksuvis, and the other is there in Yevamos. Here in Ksuvis, we're talking about a case of a woman who's going to collect a knas if you hold like Shimon HaTimni. And the question is, how could she collect knas? She's a ba'ula. And if she's a ba'ula, then there's an Iser Chalolos. The answer is the Rambam. Because there's no Nisuin. If there's no Nisuin, it's outside the framework of Nisuin, then she's included in Yesh Ba'avaya. There's no Iser Chalolos. And secondly, we see it in a diuk in the Gemara in Yevamos, that the Gemara says, Kohen lo Yisa es haktana, meaning Kohen Gadol. And why? Is because l'chi gadla, when he marries her, after she matures and she becomes a gadola, be'ulahi. And now he's marrying a be'ula. Why weren't we worried about be'ila itself? Meaning when she was a ketana. How can we allow the Kohen Gadol to have be'ila with a ketana? And the answer is, because according to the Rambam, there is no iser kahuna, unless he marries a be'ula, but the be'ila itself of the be'ula is not aser. Again, it might be also under the general rubric of Bilas Nus, but that wouldn't apply in a case where her mother married her off, because the Chachamim recognize that marriage. Now here, also, we want to fast forward to Ayin Zion, which you'll see here on the left side of your page. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, we're talking about a Besula Gemura. So the Kohen Gadol was Ma'anis of Besula Gemura. And she's considered Eina Ru'uya L'Kaima. Why? Because Anusas Atzmo, says the Gemara in Yevamos, Lo Yisa. And once there's a lo yisa, that's enough to make her into an ein ra'uya l'kayma. Now here, Rabosa, we get into a very sensitive area, because even though the Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos that lo yisa, but the Gemara also says that im nasa nasui, so it's the whole iser of a kohen gadol to marry his own ba'ula, which is called anusas atzmo, is only lechatchila. We don't allow him to marry her. Is that enough to make it into eina ra'uya l'kayma? If you hear the word l'kayma, it means that the Torah is not going to recognize this marriage and allow it to go on. That's not true. Because the Gemara says that a marriage between a kohen and anusas atzmo is valid. And there's no iser for them to continue as a married couple. The only iser is lo yisa, that he wasn't allowed to marry her. Does that mean, therefore, that she's an isha she'ena ru'uya l'kayma? In nasa nasui. Why is that called eina ru'uya l'kayma? And the best we could do with this is kevan de l'chatchila lo yisa lo chashiva ru'uya l'kayma. Since the Torah says you're not allowed to marry this woman, in the case of a kohen gadol with ba'ulas atzmo, therefore it's considered eina ru'uya l'kayma. Even though b'di'evit, if he married her, it would be fine. Now we're going to go back to the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara says, in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, Tzarech lo tzia beget. Now this makes no sense. We just finished saying that im nasa nasui. So what does he mean by saying Tzarech lo tzia beget? So he says the following. This is Rav Huna in Masechta Yevamos. Harik tani im nasa nasui. Who le'inyan she'eino mishalim knas b'mefuta. Okay, if we can get by this, we'll be in good shape. I just want to get by this one challenging paragraph. After that, it really flows beautifully. He says the following: v'hadik taniyim nasa nasui le'inyan she'eino mishalim knas b'mefuta. And why doesn't he pay knas in a mafuta situation? The eino mishalim knas b'mafuta. What am I missing here? Achorah, it should be the opposite. Yeah, what do you say, Herb? How do you work this out? Kshamafata eino mishalim knas. Elo kisheino konsa. Ah, I see. So we give him a choice. What's his choice? He can either marry her, or he can decide not to marry her, but then he pays the knas. Oh. So now, what's going to be the deal in the case of anusas atzmo? Well, mefutas atzmo. So in mefuta, and we're talking about a kohen gadol, right? So mefutas atzmo. What's the din that he's not allowed to marry her? He's not allowed to marry her. And if there's no marriage, then l'chori should pay knas. Says Rav Huna, on this, the Mishnah, the Braisa says, im nasa nasui. What does it mean, nasa nasui? That he exempts himself from knas, because again, he availed himself of what possibility? Of the possibility of marrying her. Correct? Of marrying her. Oh, once he does so, then he's putter from knas. Aye, what's going on over here? How could that be? He has to divorce her. So really that marriage was just a fig leaf. It was like a temporary marriage, but we're going to force him to divorce his wife, because mefutas atzmo is imnasa is chayv l'garisha, lo tzia beget. And the answer is, Ahani le nisun elu l'miftara miknasa. So again, he wasn't allowed to marry her. If he marries her, he's going to have to divorce her. But his marriage, if he married her, would be valid until he divorces her. And that itself is enough to exempt him from the knas. Mosiv Rav Ashi, Mihod Rav Rav Yochanan, Amit Ravai, Bogeres and Mukas Eit, Slo Yisa, Vim Nasa Nasu. Again, we're talking about a Kohen Gadol, and she's not a Besula because she's a Mukas Eit, or she's a Bogeres, but he went ahead and he married her. So here's a case where he had no heter to marry her because she's a ba'ula, and yet we recognize the marriage. Alma, I mean, it's sofalios bogeres tachtov, sofalios mukas eitz tachtov, hachinami name is sofalios ba'ula tachtov. So we have now a machlokas here between Rav Huna Marav and Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, I have proof that in the case of Anusas Atzmo, Im Nasa Nasri. That was Rav Ashi. Correct? And what's the proof? Because in the case of Bogeres and Mukas Eitz, the halach is Im Nasa Nasri, even though she's considered a Ba'ula and he wasn't allowed to marry her. But once he married her, we're going to recognize that marriage. The same thing should apply in Mefutas Atzmo, that we should recognize the marriage if he went and he married her. Comes along Rav Huna Marav, says Tzarech Legarsha Beget. So how is this case different than the case of Bogeres or Mukas Eitz? There we said him Nasa Nasui, Sofalios Bogeres. Here also we say Sofalios Beula. Vasikna Bekusha. The Gemara doesn't answer this question. When we call a Rifa Rama Rova Poskim Pasku Kirav, the Motzi Beget.
It's the same Lashon,
But do you notice how the Gemara doesn't give an answer here?
Nasa.
In other words, the equation between, on one hand, Mukas Eitz and Bogeres, and on the other hand, Mefutas Atzmo, is an ironclad equation. The Gemara never backtracks from that, doesn't know how to even question that equation. But nevertheless, la halacha, we paskin that motzia beget. Okay, now, from here, which is the paragraph umatsinu, all the way to pei aleph, which is on page kuf yud beis, he summarizes four different shitos in Rishonim as to how we paskin in the case of Anusas Atzmo, Mefutas Atzmo. Let's start with the Rashba. The Rashba says,
it's only a problem if you postulate Rav Huna. So if the Rambam postulates Rav Huna.
Right. We'll see if all the Rishonim accept Rav Huna. So let me give you I have here at the beginning on page Hay in this book, I have here an overview of the four shitas, and then maybe we'll be able to fill it in by going inside. The Rashba shita is that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Mefutas Atzmo min ha-Torah. We'll see her many times later disagrees with this. But according to the Rashba, there's an Issa Doraisa for the Kohen Gadol to marry Mefutas Atzmo. However, if he went ahead and he married her, then the Torah says Mutal Kaima Mirabbanon, he has to be Megarisha. So when we paskin, like Rav Huna Marav, says the Rashba, that's only on a Durabbanon level. Durabbanon made an enactment forcing him to divorce this woman. And why? Because he wasn't allowed to marry her. On a Torah level, he wasn't allowed to marry her. The Torah says, B'dieved, we can recognize the marriage, but the Rabbanon stepped in and they said, no, we're not going to be able to deter him from marrying this woman, which is an Issa Doraisa, unless we tell him that after you marry her, we're going to beat you blue in the face until you finally divorce us. So if somebody could do me a favor, Yosef, you're good at this. Can you summarize the Rashba and then we'll go on to the various Shitas? Do you mind doing that in your own handwriting? So first, number one is the Rashba. The Rashba is saying three things. Number one, he's not allowed to marry her min ha-Torah. Okay, talking about Kohen Gadol Mefutas Atzmo. Number two, he's saying that the Torah b'di'eved would recognize the marriage and mutul kaima, which itself is a very unique kind of halacha, that l'chatchilu the Torah says you're not allowed to marry her, but b'di'eved you could. I don't know of any precedence for that. And then the third halacha is that the Rabbanan stepped in and they said, no, you have to divorce her. Okay, that's Roman numeral number one.
Yeah.
Now we move on to the Ramban Shita. The Ramban says that on a Doraisa level, he has to divorce her. However, there's no chalolos. She doesn't become his chaleles, and the Vlad is not a chol. So basically, the Ramban is reinterpreting this halacha of b'di'evet. When it says im nasa nasu, it only means as far as chalolos is concerned. But we're definitely, on a Doraisa level, going to force him to grant a divorce. Now we get to the Rambam Shita. That's the third Shita.
No. No.
This we don't have? Alright.
What's the third Shita?
The third Shita is the Rambam Shita. The Rambam holds that in the case of Be'ulas Atzmo, if he goes ahead and he marries her and then he has bia with her, then she becomes a Chalola, the Vlad becomes a Chol, and that's all Doraisa. So the Rambam is the most Machmir of all Shitos. He takes the Ramban even one step further. The Ramban is willing to say that although the Torah requires him to divorce his wife, but that's not Chalolos. And the Ramban says, no, there is Chalolos. The most Mekel Shita is going to be the Rashba. That's before we see Rabbeinu Tam. Because the Rashba is going to say that he doesn't even have to divorce her if he marries. So for sure there's no Chalolos. And then we get to the fourth Shita, which is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that the whole Isser of Lo Yisa Be'ulas Atzmo is all Midrabbanan. The whole institution of Be'ulas Atzmo is Osir is only Midrabbanan. What is this Machlokes all about? So this you'll see on the next page, which is Kuf Yud Beis, number Pei Aleph. You have Kuf Yud Beis, or we didn't photocopy that far? Alright, so I'll make this real quick and then we'll go on to a different topic. So if somebody could just make a note of it for tomorrow, if you don't mind photocopying, what was the last page you got? Kuf Tes?
Kuf
Yud you got. So if you can photocopy just Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis for tomorrow. I'm just going to, in order to complete our limud for today and then go on to the main limud for today, I'll just read to you one paragraph from Kuf Yud Beis, which is the paragraph called Pei Aleph. He says, Be'ikar machlokas rishonim im ha'iser esei de be'ulas atzmo paka kishenosa and this is the Hagos Hagra. To be essay, the Besula me'am of Yikach Isha. Shnei in yonim yeshba lav habamachal esei de besula v'lo be'ula and mitzvah asei de kohen gadol shenosei isha olav lakachas besula shenosei be'ula ofar al number one lav habamachal esei and number two bitel mitzvahs esei. Do we have it? So far, so good? Yes, no? Should I go over it?
Yeah.
Again, very often, I'll give you a case like you remember in Shabbos, if somebody's machal Shabbos, then on the one hand he's chayav for an avera, and on the other hand he's mevatel the essay of tishbos and yontif. Here too, if he marries a beula, then he violates an isur of marrying a beula, and at the same time he's mevatel an essay because he didn't marry a besula. So those are the two dimensions. Now, the Gemara in Yevamah says a bogeres and a mukas eitz lo yisa v'yamnasa nasui umutu l'kaima. Why? Because here there's no iser essay. There's only a bitul mitzvah.
In which case?
Bogeres and mukas eitz, in those two cases. Why? Because there's a mitzvah asay for him to marry a besula that has besula. These women don't have besula. However, he's not in violation of marrying a be'ula because these women are not be'ulos. He's just in a non-compliance, non-fulfillment with a mitzvah asay. Well, what happens when he married her? Once he's married to her, you can't talk about bitul mitzvah asay. Oh, you can talk about an iser, but there's no iser here because she's a bogeris or a mukaseh, she's not a ba'ula. So you follow Rabbi Moshe, we have this twilight zone of a woman who on the one hand is not a ba'ula, on the other hand she's not a besula. She's somewhere in the twilight zone. She's in the Bein HaShmoshos. So as far as the mitzvah that's incumbent upon a kohen to marry a besula, can he fulfill that mitzvah with any of these girls? No, because she's not a besula. But as far as violating the iser of having a relationship with and or marrying a beula, did he have marriage relationship with a beula? No. So therefore, the Gemara says that if he went ahead and he married her, which he shouldn't have done because he's meant to be married to marry a besula, then nasa nasui. There's no problem. Why? Because he's not violating any iser. He's just forfeiting the essay, but again, he already married her. So once he married her, you can't tell him, well, marry a besula, he's already married. Ubazen nechleku v'be'ulas atzma. Now we get to the case of be'ulas atzma. Rav Ashi medami lo libogeres umukas eitz. The leka isur. There's no isur here. Why? Because sofa lios be'ula tachtov. Got bitul essay ika, right? Because once he was boel her, he's not marrying a besula. So therefore, he's forfeiting the mitzvah say of besula yika. However, im nasa nasui, according to Rav Ashi, because he's not violating losaseh, right? He's not because sofalios beula, like the case of Bogera sofalios beula. However, if you'll ask me, what is he mevatel the assay? The answer is yes, because he didn't marry a besula, but that's history already. He's already married her. What's the tzad of the Rishonim to say that if the kohen gadol marries besula beulas atzmo, he has to divorce her? They're of the opinion. Just 1 second. That there is a lav of Lishitas Arishonim Deliel. Right? Oh, wait a minute. So, again, let's mention here the Shitas Rashba and Ramban. Right? The Shitas Rashba and Ramban is that on a Daraisa level, he doesn't have to divorce her. Correct? So that fits in very beautifully to this definition that since she's not a classic Bu'ula, she's only Bu'ula's Atzma, so far Leo's Bu'ula Tachtov, therefore there's no violation of the Isur Lav. I don't mean a Lav literally, it's a Lav of a Machal essay, but rather it's only a Bitul of an essay. And therefore, once he married her already, and at least on a Doraisa level, we're going to leave things put. Yeah. Now we get to the Rambam. The Rambam, if you recall, was of the opinion that Bu'ula's Atzma is not only Asura, and not only im nasa chayv lo tzia beget, but even the child of such a marriage is a chalola, or she herself becomes a chalola, right? Haramim svir leit lo shayach ba zeh hasvar de sofalios beula tachtov. We're only going to accept the sofalios beula in the cases of bogeres and mukas eitz, but not in the case of beulas atzmo. The beulas atzmo lifnei anisuin he v'havi bias nus ukshetia beula tachtov ein zu beilas znus ulakach gam de beulas atzmo ika lav habomichal esei v'unishar li'olam. So the Rambam Shita is that there's a fundamental difference between Bogeres and Mukas Eitz and Bulas Atzmo. Why? Because in the case of Bulas Atzmo, he was guilty of a Be'ilas Nus. And now, if he marries her, it's not going to be a Be'ilas Nus, but it'll be a violation of the Lav Habo Mechal Esei. Why is that so? How is this different? Asofa Leos Be'ula Tachto. Notice this in the case of Ogeres, Sofa Leos Tachto means what? A Be'ilas Nus. But here in the case of Be'ulas Atzmo, he's going to marry her and it won't be a Be'ilas Nus. But I don't understand it. Bogeres, you could also say that he's going to marry. Okay, so this is where. So again, for tomorrow, which pages are you going to photocopy? Do we have this?
Kuf Yud
Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis. You know what? Let's throw in Kuf Yud Gimel just in case. And B'li Neder we'll try to wrap this up tomorrow. Now, what's our topic for today? We didn't even get to our topic for today. So our topic for today is here on page Tuf Ayin Vav. Let's just summarize what we did yesterday in Tuf Ayin Vav. We had four sfeikos of the Minchas Chinuch. The first sfeik was Onas Achos Ishto Umesa Ishto. It means that at the time of the Ones, she was excluded from Velosiel Isha, but then subsequently the Menia, the barrier, was removed, and now we have Velosiel Isha. So is he obligated now in Velosi Elisha, even though at the time of the Bia there was no Velosi Elisha? Here's where we covered the Turi Evan with the Sugat Bichui, and that was the discussion yesterday. Then we have the second suffix of Rabbi Kivego.
Would that not fit into the Machloek?
I mean of the Minchas Chinuch.
Would that fit into the Machloek Shetosh and Rashi? According to Rashi, it's Mishaz Bia. She was still a Basula. According to Tosis, it depends on the continuation of Rosi Elisha.
Right. So take a look. I think, Herb, that's the paragraph we did yesterday. Vatam was there. You have such a paragraph on Tuf Ayin Vav?
Yeah, I saw that.
Vatam was there. You see on the left column?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says the following: the afgal de mitzvah lo silishi mitzvah tmidis shechiyuva nimshach kol yoma mikom kuma siva machayeves hi abir. The kaver de b'shas chovos al yepotur, right? Because at that point she was achos ishto. Eino mischayev acherka.
That's Rashi Shita.
Correct. Okay, that's suffix number one. Now we get to suffix number two, which is on page Tuf Ayin Zion, on the right column at the bottom. And that is that he was a ben tes at the time of the ones. Is he obligated in the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha when he becomes bar mitzvah? Here's a case where at the time of the bia he was potter, he was a katan. So we would say that what happens later on, like for example in the Minchas Chinuch case where his wife dies later on, he's already been excluded from the mitzvah because everything depends upon Shas Chovasa, which is the Shas Bia, and that's the Siva Machayevas. But the answer is that the Minchas Chinuch is still wavering about this because it could be that the Katan is actually obligated to marry this woman that he raped. The only thing is, we can't force him to be Makayim that because he's a Katan. But a Maisa Vera, he certainly had. And if he has the Maisa Avera, therefore he's a Bar Chiyuva when we can implement that Chiyuv vis-a-vis Velosi Elisha, namely when he becomes a God. Now he has a third suffix. This is Tafshin Lamed Vav. What happened here? He was Chaya Vishas Bia, and later on he marries her sister. Now, obviously we can't force him to marry her because this would be an erva, but Hadar Chalalov, turning to page Tafayin Ches, Hachiv. Now, what happens is he marries her sister, but she dies. So again, at time T1, he was obligated in Velosi Elisha. At time T2, since he married her sister, he cannot be obligated in that mitzvah because she's an erva. But at time T3, after his sister dies, now he can marry the Anusa. Im hadar chal alav hachiv. Do we say that since there was a shas chavasu in this case, there was only a temporary blockage when he married her sister, now her sister's gone, we go back to the original shas chavasu and we implement the chiv. That, he says, depends upon dichui b'mitzvahs, yesh dichui or ein dichui b'mitzvahs. Then he has the fourth suffix. Okay? What's the fourth suffix? Nises li odom acher. She gets married to someone after the onus. And once again, we could say the following, that at the time of the bia, there was a lo si elisha. Everything was set into place. Now, subsequent to that, the lo si elisha becomes impossible to suspend it. Do we say that since there was a shas chavaso, he pays the... No, I'm sorry. Leave out the knas. Should we say that now, if her husband dies or gives her a get, he now has to marry her? I yesterday, and I repeat this today, I don't understand the difference between the fourth suffix and the third suffix, except for one difference, and that is the svar that he says afterwards of mechila, meaning that once she marries another man, she was mochel, haschus, to force him to marry her. She waived that schus. And then finally we have the Radbaz. The suffix that was presented to the Radbaz is, if after the ones, he took upon himself a neder called Konem Anos Tashmishech Olad. And here's where the Radbaz comes up with a radical chiddush, and he says that even though a neder is usually chal on a dvar mitzvah, but that's only in a mitzvah bein adam lamakom. But in a mitzvah bein adam lechavero, since the Torah imposed upon you this chiv to pay someone else, you cannot use a neder as an excuse to exempt yourself from payment. Even if the neder technically should be chal, if all the conditions are there, but that's not enough to be mafkia, to remove you from a chiyuv mamon vis-a-vis someone else, bein adam l'chavero. Hence, in the case of ones, the moment that he was ma'anisar, he becomes chayav in what? In knas. He cannot then take a neder that will impact on his ability to fulfill this mitzvah, which is now a mitzvah bein adam l'makar. I'm sorry, bein adam l'chaver. Now he has a paragraph here called Bir Dvar, which I read a few times and I could not figure it out. But this time we're going to figure it out.
What word does he use? Mechila or Salika?
Or Silu.
What?
You mean in the case where she marries someone else?
Marries someone else. So the Indian is born, or the Indian is nitchet?
Well, it turns out like this. Even before she married this fellow, she already had a chiyuv. I mean, she had a zechus to collect a chiyuv knas.
Right.
Now, when she marries someone else, inherent or alluded to, so to speak, latent in this act of marriage to someone else, is a mechila on the chiyuv that's already chal, namely the chiyuv of knas.
So mechila means it's going forever. It just going. I mean, that's the whole idea of dichui or.
I don't know about dichui. You know, I'd have to think about dichui. But in this case, since she has rights as a result of the bia, she has the ability to give up on those rights. Understood. That's called mechila.
Understood, but that doesn't answer the question.
So what's your question again?
The question is, what happens with these rights? Are these rights nitcha or are they nimchal?
Completely, mechila. There's no reversing on mechila. Mechila is irreversible.
Right.
You're right about siluk. Maybe this, you know,
that's
you
can what I'm saying.
This is mechila.
If it's nimchal, it's gone.
Right, and I'll tell you why I don't need siluk. Yeah, I could operate with mechila because after the bia there's a full fledged chiyuv. The Torah says v'lo sil
ish.
Now she can waive her rights to force him to marry her by marrying someone else. Once she waives her rights, that's it. It's irreversible.
I'm saying that the hakira of the third and the fourth ones would depend if you say the chiyuv has gone away completely or just postponed.
I know about the last two. Right now, I'm focused on the last one. Now, if you want to go back to the third one, you'll have to remind me. But
let's do the last one.
So she went in and she married someone else.
Right.
He's saying that forget about dichui or not dichui. Forget about the fact that there was a chiyuv. And now, after her husband dies, we should go back. Leave that all out. The chiyuv is gone completely. Who says it?
Ooh, that's the question.
That's again Rabbi Chanan, you know, but Rabbi Chanan is saying that once there's an absolute chiyuv, she can be mocha lechiyuv. And once there's mechila, that's irreversible.
That's right, yes. You use the word mocha, you use the word mechila.
Yeah, the paragraph is, I don't want you to rely on me here, Burb. I want you to read it inside. Don't trust me as far as.
If I can't rely on you, I wouldn't be here.
But that's why I went through the tirch of photocopying this for you, so you wouldn't have to rely on me. Do you see a paragraph that says ukmo chen on page 12?
I don't have
Tuf
Ein Ches.
Oh, you don't have Tuf. Does anybody have Tuf Ein Ches?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm working with the assumption that we have Tuf Ein Ches.
I have it.
Is there an extra one, maybe for her, by any chance? Tuf Ein Ches?
It's okay. I rely on you. Emunah Tuf Ein
Ches. Let's read it together. I don't want it to be Osi. You don't have to apply Osi.
It basically boils down to that exactly what happens when she gets married to this other fellow. Is the chiyuv put to sleep or is the chiyuv dead?
Here. We have Tuf Ein Ches. Thank you, Jeff. You came into the clutch, as always. Okay, do you see a paragraph of Kmo Chen? It's like three lines down from the top.
Yeah.
He says, "Yesh l'stapek heichad imiseis liyodam acher v'yachach nizgarshen es almula im ones ha'ones chayev lachzor lekonsa."
Right.
Ella shalafi machikasav nula halon. Okay, so we didn't get up to number tough shit
faces.
Efshar.
It's going forever.
Yeah, the heichad imiseis liacher havi kimechila. Right? And why is it a chila? Because take a look at the next phrase. He says, Al chiyuv hanesuin. In other words, siluk.
Period.
Right, but I'm just trying to explain where he's coming from. Siluk would be very meaningful, Herb, in a case where there is no chiyuv. Let's say, for example, a man marries a woman, and he has rights to inherit her after her death, and he wants to be mesalik himself from those rights. That's not mechila. Mechila, there's no shivud mamon here. He has no collection. I mean, she's still Baruch Hashem alive and well. But siluk could offer here. I think it's Rabbi Chana goes out of his way to say there's a chiyuv. I would underline that word chiyuv because that's the only way that Rabbi Chana could convince us that there's mechila. And if there's mechila on a chiyuv, then once you mochel on a chiyuv, that can never be resurrected, you know, that can never be restored. It's irrestorable. So again, in Hilchas Dichui, we may come to the conclusion that let's go back to the original state at the time of the Ones. And there was a Chiyuv. But once there's some Mechila in that Chiyuv, that's a whole different story. Okay, we're ready to focus our minds on the Radbaz. Remember the Radbaz, correct?
In
that the neder is not going to impede or undermine, if you will, his obligation to marry her. Why? Because he doesn't have the authority, we call lav kol kamine, to create a neder against the mitzvah of the Torah. Ah, you'll tell me that it's like the case of Hanas Sukkah alive, which again contradicts his mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah. The answer is that here it's Bein Adam L'makom. It's not Bein Adam L'chaver. Haga Atzmacha, this is on the left column, line 4. Imagine to yourself, a person owes $1,000 to someone. So he's going to take a neder of what's called Muder Hano Michavero, or I should say more precisely, Madir Hano Lechavero, which means that if I own something, I could be Madir you Hano. So I'm going to be Madir all my possessions on you. You won't be able to collect a thousand zoos. The answer is that there's no such thing as taking a neder to remove your chiyuv of Bein Adam L'Mokom, of Bein Adam L'Chaver. V'im tomar ha-tnan ha-madir es ishto yotzi v'yiten k'suva v'amai kevin de mishuva lo leva lo yochel ha-neder lo kash da hosim efshar di al yidei ha-gerishin efshar al yidei gerishin. So that's not called a real shibut. His shibut to pay her k'suva is almost non-existent, because he can just snap his fingers and give her a get. However, here in the case of Ones, where you have an irretrievable chiyuv that you owe her, and not only that, the Torah says velo si'elish, you have to marry her, you can't just take a neder and remove your chiyuv vis-a-vis your isha. Now I'm up to the paragraph Ubir Dvarov, and here I need your help, because I read this over and over again. I can't get it, but we'll get it. I know we're going to get it. He says Yesh Ladun Bazeh Mishnei Tzdod Aleph Im Aneder Mafkia Ha'Esei Divelo Siya Leisha Legamre Dinechshav Isha She'eino Reuyolo. First we have to know whether or not the neder, once it's chal, is going to undermine the mitzvah v'lo siya l'isha. Number two, af I neima, even if we come to the conclusion, di eino mafkia ha'esei, that the neder is not powerful enough to remove the esei v'lo siya l'isha, mikomakom, nidorim chalim al dvar mitzvah, v'osor lo lisa osa. Okay, maybe I'll grant you that the mitzvah is chal, right? In the first issue, Aleph, I'm going to take the high road, and I'm going to say, you know what? The mitzvah of Velo Si'elish is so powerful, it's so entrenched, that he doesn't have the authority through his neder to remove that mitzvah. But how is he going to be mekayim that mitzvah? If he's mekayim that mitzvah, he's going to violate his isur neder. And that he's not allowed to do. You're never allowed to violate a mitzvah. I'm sorry, you're never allowed to fulfill a mitzvah by violating a neder. Ulatzada rishon, ein zu taina lomar dekevin de mishubet la lochal ha neder, sharei li acher shenadar poka ha-esei, hisu eino mishubet la, al ze kosav, Haradbaz, the game of the Kfar Chala Esse Bitchila. Oh, this is what we have to underline. Kevon de Kfar Chala Esse Bitchila. Is Eina Isa Shechal Acherka. Underline that word. Yochalaf Kia. Is Vakate Nishar Hu Bechiyuvo. So he's saying the following, that the Radbaz's answer to the first issue that we mentioned here, does the neder have the power, the authority to remove the velo siya l'isha? The answer to that question, says the Radbaz, is that the velo siya l'isha took force, it was chal, before the neder. Enochinavi, let's say he had taken the neder before he was ma'anis this woman, then that would undermine the whole velo si'elish. The whole enterprise of velo si'elish would go overboard. But here's a case where he took the neder after velo si'elish, after the ones. So the mitzvah was already chal. The neder does not have the power and the authority to be mafkia the essay, the mitzvah, once the essay is chal. And that's true for any mitzvah saseh, that the neder, nobody has the authority with the neder to remove a mitzvah saseh. But the Radbaz is not out in the clear, because he has another issue. And that is that even if the neder cannot override the velosi leish, and the velosi leish is still in place, but we have a universal principle that you cannot fulfill a mitzvah by violating a neder. Why? Because the neder is chal in the cheftza, and the mitzvah is chal in the gavra, and you're not allowed to use the cheftza for the sake of the kiyum gavra. So therefore, he says, kosher. Even if I agree to you that the essay is still binding, and therefore you're going to tell me he has to fulfill the essay at the expense of violating the neder. How can we permit marrying her? So you have two tracks over. You have one track says the mitzvah of velosi leish. You have another track that says hanas tashmish alai as an isa neder. What are you going to do in this case? Okay, I agree with you. The authority inherent in the neder is not great enough to remove a mitzvah once that mitzvah was chal before the neder. That I can grant you. So what am I left with? I'm left with two tracks here. I'm left juggling two balls, one in one hand and one in the other. In one hand I have the mitzvah saseh of a losi elish. In the other hand I have the losi saseh neder loyachal dvaro because hanos tashmich shichalai. So what am I going to do now? So the Radbaz is saying you have to marry her. What do you mean you have to marry her? How can he violate the losas of neder for the sake of a kiyum mitzvah? I say we have a principle called hanidarim chalim al dvar mitzvah. We're not saying that the neder is mafkia, the mitzvah of basukas teishu shivas yamin. You have the mitzvah of teishu shivas yamin, but you can't fulfill it with an isar anah of a neder on this sukkah. Therefore, eich mutul olisos are hanidarim chalim al dvar mitzvah. So far I'm doing okay, yeah, with your help. Now let's see. V'alzeh, so what's going to be the Radbaz's answer? Something about Ben Olam Lechaveru, I don't know. V'alzeh tir, it's the cave under Meshubit La. Since he owes it to her, to marry her, that's the mitzvah say of Ben Olam Lechaveru. And that mitzvah applies even after the neder. Right, because as we said, a neder could never undermine a mitzvah. It cannot, right? Is therefore ein haneder chal klal.
Ah, that's the point.
Just one second. Why is ein? No, I understand what he's saying, but why is it so ein haneder chal klal? Since it's been adam lechaveru. Oh, I see. That the shibud itself that he owes her is going to make it impossible for him to take the neder.
The neder is not chal to begin with. Right. So it's not a question of being mafkia the mitzvah. There's no neder.
Right. But let's go through the logical progress, stage by stage of the Radbaz. The Radbaz first raises the following question. Can this neder undermine the mitzvah and completely neutralize the mitzvah? And the answer is no. Why? Because the mitzvah predated the neder. And if a mitzvah predates the neder doesn't have the power to undermine the mitzvah. Right. At this point in time, in the logic of the mind of the Radbaz, we're going into the mind of the Radbaz, you have two things in front of you. You have the mitzvah saseh, which cannot be undermined by the neder, but at the same time you have the neder. Says Radbaz, I'm not going to be able to achieve my goal. Why? If my goal is to say that despite the fact that he took this neder, he still has to marry her, like the case of a madir, a guy owes $1 million, he's going to say, well, I'll take a neder, mudra, no, I'm chavera, he's still the neder. So how do I get to that stage here? Because now we're talking about nedarim al dvar mitzvah, and neder is chal on a dvar mitzvah. The answer is, when is a neder chal on a dvar mitzvah? Only in a mitzvah of what? Ben Adam leMakom, but in the case of a shibud, in the case of Ben Adam leChavero, the neder is not chal. You have no. The Torah empowered you to take a neder, even if that neder will make it impossible for you to fulfill a mitzvah. That's called the Darm Chalim Al Dvar Mitzvah, but only as far as a mitzvah Ben Adam leMakom. As far as a mitzvah Ben Adam leChavero is concerned, the Torah never allowed you to take a neder. which means that the shibud that you owe something to someone makes it impossible for you to take a neder that would preclude fulfilling that shibud. And therefore, says the Radbaz, he will go ahead and marry her. Ah, you'll ask me, but he's violating a neder. The answer is, ein ha neder chal klal.
The Lashon, it doesn't say ein koach lavkia mitzvah. It says lo chal. In the beginning, it never started.
But again, Herb, I just want you to appreciate the Mahalach HaMachshav of the Radbaz. On the first level, he wanted to know, does the neder have the power to nip the mitzvah in the bud? And the answer is, it depends. Which came first, the neder or the mitzvah? Now he's saying something else. Well, we have a principle called Einan Chalam Al Dvar Mitzvah. Even if I grant you that he has the mitzvah, and he didn't have the authority to undermine the mitzvah through his neder, but how is he going to fulfill that mitzvah? The Torah enjoins him from fulfilling the mitzvah, violate the neder. The answer is that Einan Neder Chal Klal. So Rabbo say, now we're up to page Tav Ayin Tes, which is Tav Shin Lamed Zayin. So we need someone to volunteer to photocopy the next four pages, so that I don't have that hassle tomorrow. Okay then?
Okay.
So again, we're holding in two places here. We're holding on page Kuf Yud, which we already have photocopied, but we don't have Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis. Okay? So we need Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis.
Try to get
her early tomorrow. Okay, that would be great. And now we need Tav Ayin Tes. Do you have Tav Ayin Tes? Maybe you have Tav Ayin Tes. And that should take us all the way till Tav Pei Beis. Okay. So it's not much. It's not much. Okay, so I'm going to write down, this is for Tuesday. Correct? Because we already passed Monday.